blogtalkradio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight. Who wants to walk with Elias?
Yeah. Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Because when the hounds come down to this ring, you got two choices. You get out of our yard, or we beat your ass.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Episode of Monday Night Raw. Manhood. Some have it. Some don't. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by GoWork.net and Wrestling and MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sorokin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
I hope you're not implying who I think you're implying doesn't have it.
Well, who do you think I was implying?
A certain dead man?
The theme was do something, and, well, hasn't yet.
We don't know. He could have thrown his remote across the living room. That could have happened.
He also could be doing his blonde wife. We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he could actually be doing something. We don't know what it is at the moment, but he could be doing something. Or he could just be asleep. That's still doing something, but he could be asleep. It is late.
We'll get to that in a minute. Let's talk about what the hot starts of Monday Night Raw. And that was Paul Heyman coming to the ring with Brock Lesnar. And they were up and talking about Roman Reigns' manhood. They revealed that his suspension is over, but he is not here tonight. They talked about how he was raised by his father, Alpha, and his father and uncle, Alpha and Sika. But it's a shame they didn't raise him to be a man. Because a man would have been here tonight. And Paul Heyman brings up how Reigns says he's here every week. How Roman Reigns, you're advertised, but they're not here 2 weeks before WrestleMania. It was good, I'll say this, that Paul Heyman mentioned the angle from last week and tied that loophole up. Tied that knot up. And revealed that, you know, could have been, he was smart enough. He would have, did the setup where he hired three fighters to show up and, give them outfits that said U.S. Marshals and, put him in line for a beating.
Yeah, it was nice. That was a nice little touch because we were sitting here last week and it's like, that's a felony. That's a felony. That's really a felony if they're actual U.S. Marshals. So it's like, right off the bat, they're not. So that was a great little follow through right there.
Yeah. So he said Roman Reigns isn't man enough to show up to take another beating from Brock Lesnar tonight and won't get it. It won't be able to take the belt from him at WrestleMania. Through the crowd walks Roman Reigns carrying a steel chair. He came after Brock. Brock just laid him out with a clothesline. Reigns got in some shots as he sent Lesnar into the post. He bent the chair across the back of Brock Lesnar and was selling each shot after on Lesnar with pain from his attack last week. And then Brock Lesnar was like, nope, caught him with a suplex, belly to belly, overhead suplex. And then he just started beating on Roman Reigns. Shot after shot. Steel steps to the face a couple times and left him laying. Starts to leave, but in Brock Lesnar fashion, he returns. One more steel chair shot to the face, and an F5 right down onto the steps. Roman Reigns is going to have to find a way to overcome the beast. I don't know if positioning Roman Reigns as an underdog works, because 46 other weeks out of the year, he's not positioned as an underdog.
But it's against Brock Lesnar.
Go ahead.
I think you have to kind of make a special exception there, because Brock is Brock, and they've built him in such a way that he's virtually unbeatable. He's had that title for a year now.
Oh, I know, but it's still, it is hard to buy him as the underdog. He's like the New England Patriots. They're not underdogs. You can't buy them as that. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know. I know that. But you have to do something in this situation. And so the only thing that they think they thought to do was, well, let's make Roman the underdog. Let's have Brock beat him down and beat him down and beat him down until, you know, come WrestleMania, where Roman just comes out like a house of fire and takes Brock apart. And I think that's what they're more trying to do, is have Roman Reigns get angry, have him get frustrated, have him go for Brock. You know, but just because Brock keeps getting the upper hand on him, he keeps beating him down. And Roman doesn't quit. Roman just keeps fighting. And I think that's the story they're trying to tell, which that's fine. That's totally admirable. I think it's a good story.
I just have a hard time buying it, because the next 46 weeks, it's going to be completely different, and it's just hard to buy. Are they telling a good story? Yes, but it's hard to buy into underdog Reigns. Like, he's this, you know, he's Roman Reigns. He's the, you know, one versus all. He beats everybody. It's hard to buy.
Oh, I know, and I appreciate that, and I'm kind of right there with you, but it's for the sake of the story. And honestly, a little weakness doesn't hurt Roman. Having Roman get beat down and not always be that alpha dog, as they like to call him, is totally fine, because that adds a level of dimension to him and vulnerability that isn't normally there. And that's what draws people to him, is it's like you want him to be more three-dimensional, but there you go. You know, Brock Lesnar is essentially, right now, his kryptonite. That's what's stopping him. He can't get past Brock. It's not even Heyman, it's Brock. That's the whole thing.
And that's fine. It's just hard. It's hard as a fan to go, oh yeah, Roman Reigns, he's clearly the underdog. It's hard to buy.
Yeah, no, I gotcha.
That's the way I feel. It's like, is it the right story they're telling? Yes. But with the fans have to care enough about the character to really buy into the underdog. And with the fans the way they are with Roman, it's a struggle to buy that.
Oh,
because
no,
they're so wishy-washy on him to begin with.
Yeah, no, I gotcha.
So, we then have... Anything else you want to add to that about the opening?
Nope, I'm good.
Roman walked them to the back, so, you know, this week he did not get structured. Because you can't do that to Roman 2 weeks in a row. Nia Jax beat Mickie James. Alexa Bliss came in afterwards, got one shot in on Nia, and was like, nope, I'm out. She called her a little bitch, and WWE missed the bleep button.
That's okay. We're all fine with that.
All fine with that. Let's see. In other matches on this show, Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali beat Drew Gulak and TJP. Yes. In fact, the Cruiserweights were on Monday Night Raw.
Visibility is everything when you're trying to get a brand over.
Asuka beat Jamie Frost.
It was a solid 1 minute contest. I think the promo was longer than the match.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what was up with Jamie's gear, but okay.
Very indie. Very indie. Braun, Sheamus and Cesaro wanted to know who Braun's partner was. Braun told Sheamus, come in the ring and beat me, and I'll tell you who it is. Well, he didn't beat him. Braun won. That was fun.
It was actually really entertaining. It was really scary, because Braun was throwing Sheamus around like a rag doll, and Sheamus is like, what, 6'4", 6'5", probably 230-ish, mm-hmm. to maybe even up to 250, somewhere in there. I mean, Sheamus is not a small man, and Braun Strowman was throwing him around like he was a rag doll. It was terrifying.
Right? Yeah, it was. And Elias beat Rhino.
It was there. It gave me a panic attack. It's fine.
That was later. That was earlier. It gave you a panic attack.
Yeah, that's true.
Why did it give things a panic attack? Because the Woken Warrior, Matt Hardy, has finally deleted Bray Wyatt.
That's what I said to that.
And has gotten rid of his essence. It smelled like something. I completely forget what he said. Senior Benjamin said something it smelled like. But that's beside the point. Matt Hardy has announced that he will be in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and he will be deleting people in that match. There was no Bray Wyatt on the show.
I'm fine with that. I heard what was happening on the house shows. I'm fine with with no Bray on this show. I can live with that. My anxiety level has been at a 10 pretty much all weekend. I'm terrified of what's going to come out of that lake, and I'm pretty convinced it's not going to be good. Whatever it is not going to be okay. I've been on a ledge. He'll attest to that. So, the fact that there was no Bray Wyatt on this show, I'm fine with.
Yes, Titanical Reign has been replaced by Senior Benjamin's Daisies, saying the Great War is over, and he will honor the legacy of the Humongous Warrior number 8, Andre the Giant. The best thing on the show was a 3-4 minute video package featuring Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, it was really good. Like, it was, I really like how they put it together.
They were building up Stephanie, basically Steph versus Ronda. They were talking about how this is all about ego, and they kept calling Kurt Angle an idiot for setting this all up. And then they got into the training and all the workouts, and you had Stephanie and Hunter not over the top, not, you know, doing their normal thing. They were straightforward, they were very serious. They're comparing the worlds of UFC and WWE, how this is completely different. This is where they dominate. It was perfect.
It was great. It was really, really, really well done. And, you know, showing Steph training and working out especially kind of hit it home. And in a situation where you really don't need to do a lot to this feud to get it to the point that it needs to be, it's pretty much there. These little highlight videos are perfect because it keeps that simmering up until next week where we're going to push everything over the edge. That is just perfect.
Now, speaking of Ronda Rousey, she came out with Kurt Angle. Ronda talked about how she's going to rip Stephanie's arm out of her socket, was then interrupted by Absolution. Paige called Ronda baby girl like 4 times. It was really awkward every time she said it. And, well, she offered to give Ronda some backup and have her be a part of Absolution, and Ronda turned them down. She has a gold medalist by her side. Or, as she said, I have an Olympic gold medalist watching my 6 o'clock. So, yeah. Paige said, be on the bad side of Hunter and Stephanie's career suicide. And, well, Sonya and Mandy tried.
Sonya and Mandy got their butts kicked.
Yep. Sonya got knocked down. Mandy
just made bad life choices.
She went for a kick. Took a suplex. And got put in an armbar. Yeah. And she was about to break her arm till Kurt Angle talked her down. That was a good spot.
That was a great spot. I mean, again, it's my only problem with this is, you know, Paige can't wrestle. Paige has been put on the IR for right now. So you've got her out there talking all kinds of crap to Ronda Rousey, and it's like, you know, it's going to be Sonya and it's going to be Mandy that take the beating for it. And it's like, if that's how you're going to do that, then one of them should be the one that's talking the crap, not Paige. Because Paige will never get her comeuppance that way. That being said, everybody out there that wants Sonya Deville versus Ronda Rousey, why would you do that to her? If you love Sonya, why would you do that to her? That's not going to end well for her. Not right now. Maybe in a couple months, maybe in a year. Yeah, then look at it. But right now, they are not going to have Ronda lose for anything. And I can't dispute the baddest woman potentially on the planet claim just based on Ronda's qualifications. And honestly, if she needs backup, she got a Queen of Spades down in NXT right now.
Yes, she does.
Shayna, I'm sure, would be more than happy to come help Ronda out.
So let's talk about Miz TV, shall we? In Miz's hometown of Cleveland, which he quickly says, I live in LA.
But you thought about moving back to Cleveland?
He did. So, Miz was really upset with his Mr. Raj. And, you know, they're not, you know, he at one point told Bo, you could go believe himself back to catering, and he'd be nothing without him. Rollins said he normally isn't a fan of Miz TV, but he likes what's going on. He just was here to, you know, help resolve the issues. Rollins said that Mr. Raj was feeling underappreciated. He said, when was the last time you said thank you to them?
Because they die for you every week.
Rollins said that without the two of them, Miz would not be Intercontinental Champion. He then started singing his own praises, and Dallas said, yeah, you would be a phony A-lister who can't fight. And then Rollins,
I was so proud of him.
Rollins and Miz asked him to repeat himself. Finn Balor came out and claimed that Dallas called Miz the biggest jerk he ever met. Dallas was like, no, I didn't do that.
I didn't say that. Totally not what I said at all.
Then they egged him on to say that he was a phony A-lister who can't fight.
And Curtis's face during this whole thing was like, ooh, you in trouble.
Miz was like, I'm just trying to motivate him. He said in 37 days he'll be the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. He said that means he'd be better than Shawn Michaels, Randy Savage, and Mr. Perfect. And
then like, which Curtis did not take too kindly to.
Mm-hmm. Miz is like, okay. I was just, Miz TV is canceled. Let's just get out of here. Bo and Curtis blocked them. Miz was apologizing. It's backed up into Rollins and Finn. And, well, the swerve happened as the Miztourage attacked Rollins and Finn Balor. Anderson and Gallows made the save, chasing out the Miztourage. Miz was left alone. He got beat up. He was able to escape before getting the stomp. Balor picked up the IC title. Rollins took it back. They had a shoving match. Miz tried to get back in the ring. Rollins hit a clothesline on Miz to send him to the outside, and then took a clothesline from Finn Balor, who smiled with the IC title to end the segment.
I like this segment. I was ready to fight Miz about picking on Bo Dallas, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, don't do that to him. Don't be mean to him. Don't make me come find you.
Right. Later in the night, the club beat the Miztourage.
They have died for our sins once again. Thank you, boys.
So it's time to go back to Save by the Bell. High school time. Bailey and Sasha standing in front of lockers. Bailey said she was winning the women's battle. Where Royal Banks was like, "You need to talk." And she said she's tired of her passive aggressive. Bailey's like, "I thought that's what you like me being passive and having friendship with Sasha. You get to do whatever she wants, and she just goes along with it." Bailey said Sasha loves when she gets put first, and acts like she's a legit boss. Banks said she makes no apology for doing what she wants for herself and her career. She suggested Bailey do the same thing, so everyone doesn't think she's a loser.
I think that's what she's trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Bailey says Banks screws her over because she knows she can't beat her. Sasha points out, "I'm a 4-time women's champion." Bailey's like, "How long do you keep it?"
Ooh.
And then Sasha slams Bailey into the lockers. They fight. Bailey ends up gets taken out into other lockers. They fought onto a table before referees pulled them apart. Good stuff.
This is great stuff. I love this so much.
It's a shame they don't get to fight at WrestleMania, but they'll be in the Battle Royal. So that's a plus.
They're slow burning it. They're slow building it to something. And I'm almost happy it's not at WrestleMania, because I would rather it be somewhere else. But yeah, we're going to see them get physical for the first time in a long time in the Women's Battle Royal, and that's where this is going to start to boil over, is there.
And they get to fight for a trophy with streamers.
That looks like a golden uterus.
She said it. I didn't. Main event time. John Cena versus Kane. No DQ.
They were being gentle with each other to a point.
They were. We had a table break. Cena ran into it. We had Cena doing the throat slashing gesture. He sat up at one point. He did what you call it to Kane? The baby choke slam?
Oh yeah, he did a baby choke slam.
Did the baby choke slam to Kane. Eventually Cena would win with the AA through the table. And then Cena came in, was like, "No lightning? No bells of terror? No Undertaker?"
I swear to God, he started to sound more like me every week.
He said this was a match with no rules and anyone could be there. Where are you? And he screamed, "Undertaker." He goes, "I know you're not deaf. You're just a coward." Cena then told him, "You know, you don't get to be mysterious either. Mysterious. It's either yes or it's no."
Why can't he be mysterious?
"I'm fine with no because I will go into WrestleMania as a fan, but get your eyes out of the back of your head and look at the energy when the crowd chants yes, when they chant Undertaker, when they chant, do something for God. Do something because now you only have 1 week left, and 1 week that sums up your entire career. You could do something or you could do nothing. If you do nothing, you let me down. You sure as hell let Kane down. But most importantly, you made it crystal clear to every person out there who ever believed in The Undertaker that you just don't care about him. You only care about yourself. I hope that for the sake of all that is good, I see you inside this ring next week."
I swear, again, Cena sounds more like me every week in terms of when he whines about the fact that The Undertaker's not there. But also, would somebody please tell this man that the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is a thing, and if he doesn't have anything else to do, he can enter that? Although, based on the news today, it sounds like Daniel Bryan may need a partner for WrestleMania, so, you know, he could totally go help his brother-in-law out, future brother-in-law at this point, out with his whole problem. Just, again, another thought. And it's like, I'm sorry, but the fact that Cena is like, well, I'm not going to have a match, so I'm just going to go as a fan, is like borderline ridiculous. Like, really? Really? There's stuff for you to do and you can't go do it? You're just going to sit here and whine and complain and call The Undertaker a coward every week on TV when, frankly, if you know, you're putting stuff out on social and you don't even have the balls to tag the man's wife? Like, he's not on social. You know he's not on social, so you know he's not seeing it, and you're not bothering to tag her in it. So she can, I don't know, show it to him. Like, the best shot you had was Kane, because Kane probably told Taker what was up, but maybe he didn't. I don't know. Like, just, there's kind of an absurdity here. It's like, well, if you want The Undertaker, go find him. Why are you standing in a ring every week demanding that he show up? Go find him.
Let the demand rest. Cena's the guy that would let people retire, like that commercial of the old people. Yes.
Oh, I'm 100% agreeing. Taker, you know, it's like last year felt like it. Last year probably should have been it. Actually, technically, end of an era should have been it. But Taker keeps going. But it's like, if you're going to have Cena come out there and insist that Taker show up and really do nothing else but call him out and call him a coward, it's like, it's getting hard to buy. It's like, we all know you know this man, that you have his phone number, so you could call him, you could text him. You could roll up to his house one day with your phone and go on Facebook Live and be like, you know, hey, I'm at Taker's house. He won't answer the door. Like, that's way more believable than John Cena walking out there every week and being like, he's a coward. He's a coward. He won't answer me. When it's like virtually every form of media that you're using to potentially contact him isn't necessarily, I don't want to say not believable, but it's like the man doesn't have social and you have no idea if he's watching Monday Night Raw or not. Like, there's no guarantee if he even keeps up with the product anymore. I'm sure he does, but it's like the forms that you're using are just, it's not necessarily a guarantee in any regards that he's going to hear or see it. I'd rather have seen a calling Undertaker in the middle of the ring and getting hung up on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
At least that's believable.
Have we checked the Undertaker's tout account? Maybe he's responded there.
I don't think he has a tout account. The payoff really should be this, that, you know, Taker gets a goddamn Twitter, and he posts one thing on that Twitter, and it's yes or no. Or he responds on Michelle's social, or, you know, yeah, he rolls up, because they could have done something where it's like John and Kane go out to the parking lot, Kane throws John rolls up to somebody's feet, and he looks up, and there's Taker standing there. But I get they're not going to do that. They're not going to have Taker show up, potentially till WrestleMania. Basically, they're doing what they did with Bray, where they're holding Taker off TV until the show. And it's the question of, is the Undertaker even going to show up? Nobody knows.
We'll find out in Georgia next week.
Yes. Yes, we will.
But I say that does it for us.
I say that does it for us as well.
Tell us about the Rack Extra reviews.
Alrighty. Well, we have episode 3 of Timeless, which should be out sometime tomorrow. And, well, we have the Royals review, episode 3 of that as well. That came out Sunday night, so that's already available for your listening pleasure. And we have a Rack Extra Reviews coming up for the official WrestleMania mag. We should be recording that in the next few days. So we'll let you know what's up with that, and that should be available later this week.
But Thursday night, it's the Rack, live, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're going to have SmackDown Throwdown, the NXT Rundown, all the news, and what the hell is going on with Shane? Hopefully have answers for you Thursday night. 10 p.m. Eastern, Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, rackradioshow.com. Check out youtube.com/rackradioshow for WTR Sims at some point this week. And no clear date, but it's coming, I promise. Saturday night, midnight edition, CB Radio. We will have the Greater Than Great Debate. What is the Greater Than Great Debate, you ask? Well, you just need to wait and see. You put us up for a challenge, and you're going to get one. Saturday night, midnight-ish. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. CBRadioLive.com. Sunday, Russell Talk Radio Previews. WrestleMania this Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, at WTR Sunday night on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be back next Monday night for the go-home edition of the Raw Post Show to WrestleMania, live, 11-10 p.m. Eastern at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com, Wild Talk Radio Network. And remember, play WrestleMania Pick'em to win the Book of Booty.
You can follow me on Twitter, at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychworddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters.
Thanks to Gilbert Dunnett. And MBGfilm, youtube.com/MBG1211. She's Lindsay and Rock. We'll see you Thursday night for The Rock. And right back here for the Raw Post at 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Long day with the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right here at wildtalkradio.com.
My time is now. Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me. My time is now.
WildTalkRadio.com.